Blast off. Hi, everybody. This is Veronica, and it's Radiance by Design. And guess what? This is the time in history where we have to radiate. We have to pick up our socks and radiate out there. Everybody's got to pick up the socks of their vibrational vehicle of light and radiate, radiate, radiate. Why? Because it changes your reality. Change the energy, change the reality. You can change your reality by shifting the frequencies of whatever situation you're in. I promise you this. So let's talk about it together. Let's talk about it. And I want you to call in tonight. Of course, you never do. Now, that makes me cranky, doesn't it? Because then I have to work harder. But I'm going to pick your brains. If you're going to sit out there and not call, I'm going to look for some of the questions that are in your aura out there or in your belly out there or somewhere. And we're going to do the sacred geometrics. We're going to put you into a situation where you're spinning and whirling these beautiful so we get to the star tetrahedron, the crystal ball, the double tetrahedron, your attitude, your perspective, mind too, calling in lights, flushing and cleansing, and then kicking our feet as if we're at the bottom of the ocean. We want to move straight up. We're going to move straight up in the atmosphere, and what our out picturings will be different. They'll be more ideal. They'll be more harmonious. They'll be more coming from what your soul journey is exacting in this life of yours. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was on the show with Lavendar. Lavendar is a really interesting woman who has quite a history. She's part, I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, she's ET, part ET and part human. So she's a hybrid. And a lot of you remember Judy Carroll from Human by Day and Zeta by Night. There are a number of people, and you and I probably have ET DNA in our body, mind, emotional self, in our cellular structure anyway, because we've been floating around this universe or diving and swan diving and rising and transforming and exploring possibilities for who knows how long. And that means we've been intersecting and intermarrying and mingling with all kinds of species out there. And so the idea of talking about ETs has got to me a much more flexible possibility to it. If you look at humans on our planet, we've got some pretty egregious, nasty characters out there. We got some pretty scary stuff happening on our planet. We've got power bases that are really working against the betterment of reality for an awful lot of people, creating a reality for people which is more like nightmares, of deficits, of losses, of illnesses. We know all that stuff, right? I didn't tune in tonight to depress you. But I wanted to remind you of something when Lavendar was talking with me. And I said, well, you know, like she was saying that the ETs do this, the ETs do that. I said, well, wait a minute, are we their puppets? And she said, that's a good question. We're not really. That we work now, not with all of them, just like you and I have friends, but we're not friends with everyone, okay? We have beings who lift us, support us, challenge us, carry us to a higher level of productivity. And we have people who like to thwart us and blunt us and challenge us to go to a lower level of productivity, right? And I gather that the ETs are like that as well, at least in some ways. And I said, well, what's the deal with them? And she said, sometimes they lead us and sometimes we lead them. So it's a little bit like our higher selves or our guardian angels or all of that. They come in and out with various roles in our soul's journey, right? And then I said something about the shift, and she said, well, they actually created the shift. Now, I haven't been able to get hold of Lavendar in person to find out. I wanted her to talk more about that. She seems to have more community with them or conscious community with them than I do. But it's really interesting to me to think that they might have created the shift. Now, I don't know what you would want to do with that. But for me, I go, if we had a benevolent layer, if you will, of beings like our guardian angels, those who are lifting us and helping us create peace on the planet and so on. And if some of these were ETs, which were plentiful enough to actually facilitate a kind of a creation of evolution in vibrationally that goes round and round the world, that really triggers your evolution, your waking up in mind. And we already know that Amma Bhagavan, the avatars, the two together create an avatar. An avatar is an enlightened being. It only comes to help lift beings on the planet. They don't come here to have a normal life. They don't have to come here. They've come here to make a difference. So they came, and their difference that they're making through the Oneness University, and I think they're pulling out of it themselves and letting it sustain itself. But what they did was they downloaded enough high frequency energy so that if you call them in, Amma Bhagavan, or if you've been initiated into the Oneness blessings, you would be, in essence, creating, participating in a vibrational creation of a shift on this planet. And if you think about it, that shift potential or that activation to the shift is being passed on in a transmission created to lift and evoke in the brain patternings of many, many people around the world that some of the potential. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "These and more shall ye do in the name of the Father," when he spoke of his huge gifts. I always say he said, "Anything I can do, you can do better." And the way Amma Bhagavan, just for example, and other great beings have transmitted the light energy or transmitted high frequency energy has opened many, many beings to being able to comprehend, if you will, to see a much higher reality on our planet. And so they're actually passing on a shift, are they not? They're passing on a tremendous shift. And so, yeah, and so what I'm seeing is when Lavendar said that the ETs created the shift, it's really easy for me to believe that there are beings out there besides my higher self, your higher self, besides our ascended angel beings and other masters who are on the other side, huge beings of light which are on the other side, and ETs, which are, when I say the other side, I mean of a vibrational level that is not always 3D, right? I mean, they can descend into 3D sometimes, but they tend to be offshore, if that's the right term, and that the shift has been created out there as well as here. And avatars like Amma Bhagavan and many, many other beings. I don't know all their names. Gangaji, I don't know. You know their names. A lot of you have different beings that you work with and love. And I know the Maharshi, and there are many, many, the Yogananda. There are many, many great beings that people trekked huge distances just to receive the transmissions that would evoke much higher possibility of consciousness within themselves. So all around, I keep going, okay, so if there are ETs doing that as well, I feel this, that you and I can reach up with our mind as sculpting tools and connect with. We can work instead of just empathizing laterally between people, you know, on the same level or in 3D. And that's a lot of times what we do. Sometimes it pulls us down. Sometimes it invigorates our popularity or, you know, to get a really pure transmission requires a being who's consciously radiating in a much higher level than usual, than what we're used to having. Okay, so, and I'm just saying to you, if there are a number of beings like Lavendar or like Judy Carroll and many other ones we hear about who are literally consciously hybrid, consciously part ET and part human, and many, many, many who believe that Jesus was that, If that's so, then we can assume that the shift is not only possible, but is extremely plausible. And even though it seems to be very, very slow and we're all a little bit confused about it, I feel like it's happening. One of the things that, and this is the news according to my dear friend, Bob. He's very, very good at detail. And he's quite good. He knows that I don't sit around and listen to the news and read the news very much. I try to catch up periodically. And sometimes it's a little heartbreaking. And that's why I stopped listening for a while, because it was really hard to create a high-frequency energy. A lot of you know this, and a lot of you feel just the same way. It's hard to radiate out there, change the energy to change the reality if you're really depressed and frustrated with what the news really is and how relentless the grab for riches and the, you know, dog-eat-dog and the war and the lies and the media hype that lobbies all kinds of garbage and the GMOs. I mean, come on, it gets to be a bit much, right? But the trick is that you got to get inside yourself and you got to still radiate out past that. So I don't bother with it that much, but Bob is really good at it. And he listens and watches to a lot of news. So he was telling me recently, you know, I know there's some absolutely amazing things going on, which to me are evident of the shift. And, you know, we saw, I heard of, well, you all heard probably of the guy who's the CEO of Gravity.com in Seattle. And instead of keeping his $1 million CEO wages, he broke it all up and he gave all of his employees a $70,000 minimum annual pay. It's unheard of for the CEO to dump out his penny bank and share it with his employees like that. And I have heard wisps and whispers, but have no evidence, that because it really hit the big time and it made sense, and this fellow who was the CEO said, you know what, business is going to be so good, which it already is because he got so much respect and attention for what he did. He says, it's not going to be very long. I'm going to have that kind of money again. But all these people have a greater opportunity to get themselves going as well. So he did something, and he's very clear about, you know, it can pay back. It's not just loss. And in Oakland, the mayor of Oakland is a woman. Remember, Dalai Lama said it would be the Western women, the older Western women, that are going to make a huge difference at this time of the shift, right? So now Oakland, California, which is kind of, my thought of Oakland is that it's quite a complicated city. It's got a real intricate weaving of all kinds of people, socioeconomic, wealthy people, very poor people, the homeless people, the industrial, the university, all of that kind of mixture. And to me, it always felt kind of like crowded and busy and expensive, but not like San Francisco. San Francisco has a different expense about it, and Marin, a little more space and so on, but it's they're both expensive. But anyway, that's got a different quality. Anyway, they're in Oakland. There is this woman, and she's the mayor of Oakland. I think her name is Lily Schaaf, something like that. And she's been apparently communicating with homeless people. She's brought in some women CEOs who run big corporations, and their corporations are moving into Oakland. And what's happening with that is they're putting in affordable housing for their employees in Oakland. Think about it. And so they go back to the women thing. It seems like it's a natural thing for women to concern themselves first and foremost with the home, the nature of family, housing, and food, and clothing for people. And so this is a kind of a logical thing. I don't think that their businesses, CEO, that their CEOs of, are all about that. But they certainly are concerned about affordable housing. And then when I was Googling, looking for more information about this kind of thing, I saw this quickly. I just saw this headline of a fellow in, I think it's in Seattle, and he was making or maybe it's in Oakland as well. People call him when somebody dumps a whole load of trash and he runs over and he takes a lot of the pieces out of it, whatever is big enough, and he builds a whole bunch of mini houses. And this is for homeless people. A lot of them are on wheels. They're very cute. So look that up. These are people taking action. There's a guy that we interviewed probably in 2008 or 2009, Kelly Hart. And he was talking a lot about earth bag houses. And he was talking a lot about making buildings out of leftover paper. You know, like it's like paper mache, but it's much stronger than that. It's more like a clay fabric or something. And so if you look around your city, your town, I'd love it if you give me feedback on people like that who are not doing things just for money so they could get right up there in the 1% and be safe, right? But people who are really making a difference. And there's been a lot. I know I'm talking a lot, but I wanted to just throw out this whole funny percolating mélange of what's going on out there to say that the shift seems to be happening, right? The shift seems to be happening, but you can't always see it because the news, for example, doesn't usually bring up. I was hunting for some of these things on the news. I couldn't even find half of it. So the news doesn't bring up immediately what the really good stuff is. And those people who have followed, for example, the Illuminati for years have heard, and I've heard this a lot, that what they wanted was to kill off a huge proportion of humanity, and then they wouldn't have to bother with us anymore. Only I'm wondering if the shift means that we don't have to go in that route, and that there's words from certain enlightened spiritual beings that the Illuminati are giving up, because basically because people are waking up and people are fighting back. And people aren't letting the fear thing dominate them, which, you know, I know I've gone all over the place with this, but I hope you got the sense of a really bubbling stew of humanity. So that takes me back to my initial phase, which is raise your fields and frequency. And as you do such, you will find that the outcome in your life changes. And a lot of you feed me back that you're listening to a lot of the podcasts. And I know a bunch of you have listened to Joe Vitale, and not necessarily on my podcast, but on his own, wherever, on YouTubes and stuff. But I was recently sick, and I had a whole lot of stuff in my belly, which you and I know is the subconscious, right? Leftover stuff, leftover, leftover, leftover. And so as I was lolling around on the couch, and if you know me, I very rarely loll. I'm always kind of hyperactive or something. I listened to my interview with Joe Vitale, and he was so inspiring about, which I spoke of last week, about the Ho'oponopono. However you say it, you know how to say it. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I thank you, I love you, that whole chant thing. And what he was talking about, I needed to rehear at that point because I was feeling pretty bleak. And it was, look at a situation that you can't see happening very well, okay? And I have a group function that seems to be very kind of listless right now, right? So I started to pull up that one in my mind's eye. Gee, why is that so slow? And what he says is something you've heard before too. There is no out there. It all out pictures from in here. It starts in here. So I'm going, okay, this group is taking off so slowly. You're not even sure if the wheels are turning. So I go inside and I call up beliefs like, what do I believe? How many beliefs do I have here? Oh, I believe it's such a good idea, it's probably not going to work. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Could you ask her to wait for a few minutes, please? Thank you. I'm glad you called in, Myra. I'm going to get right back to you. But anyway, what happened is I started realizing all the things that I believe about this kind of thing. Oh, it can't work. It's never going to work. It's a very unlikely thing to work. And why? Because 10 years ago, I had one, it didn't work. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that I kept feeling and commanding total release. Commanding total release. And because of the nature of my work, I then pictured this group in a huge star tetrahedron, spun it and spun it and said, thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And over again, I did that exercise. And guess what? My belly started to be way better. And I don't know what's happened to the group yet because it's too soon to tell. But Vitaly tells it in such a way as to be vital about it, and it can really stimulate our ability to move forward. And the other thing I wanted to say at the end of this huge statement of mine is you have to raise your fields and frequency, and then the reality you think you're creating shifts, and you possibly are going to create, in my case, the group thing is going to get really perky and bubbly, and there's no stopping it. See what I mean? This or something better. So I'm really excited because we already have a caller. We haven't even done our meditation yet, but I've talked longer too. So Myra, welcome to the show. Myra is an amazing woman who runs the spa. Hi, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
Hello. I'm great. Glad to be here. I'm sorry I jumped in a little late, but I'm glad to be here.
Oh, honey, I'm so glad you jumped in. It's wonderful to talk to you. Myra was on Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night for any of you who want to learn about turning yourself upside down in a very colorful sling in your wonderful spa. How are you doing tonight? Do you have any questions for us?
No, I'm just kind of settling in from an intense fellowship time with my two boys. So I'm kind of settling into that, and it was interesting, and I needed to separate from something that was very affecting me emotionally with them and how they were treating and how what they were talking. And we had a heated conversation, and I was just setting up some healthy boundaries, you know, and letting them know. And I'm kind of settling in. My body's still a little bit, like, fired up from it.
Oh, but you're a really good mom. Yeah. You've been a single mom since those kids were little, right?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yes, I have. And we get along great. We really do. We just had a beautiful vacation that we had so much fun. So this was very, this heated and this intensity is very unusual for us, but it's healthy because it brings out things that need to be brought up, you know, and that, you know, it's when things come up and we open up and express. What's hurting our feelings, and we love each other very much, so we can hurt our feelings easily.
Well, I think also that the three, you know what's really interesting about this call, Myra, is I see the three of you, and I see there's some sort of catalytic force between you all to push. You know, I was talking about radiance and really shifting your fields and frequency. There's something about your relationship between the three of you where you literally push one another to grow. I like that.
Yes. And it
That's
is.
That's not always comfortable.
It's not. And we have that honesty with each other, too, which is good, and the openness and the transparency to be able to be ourselves, you know. But sometimes ourselves is not the white, fussy, loving person, you know.
So but I think it's really important to admit that to ourselves, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And it's important that you're comfortable in being in that uncomfortable space, you know, and then we get over it and we talk about it a little bit more, but it's not like it stays around, you know, we just kind of get it out of the way, address it, talk it out, and move on.
I like that, actually.
It was good. We had a conversation about looking through the lens of love and looking through the lens of a critical spirit.
Oh.
And, because that's what happens when we're together. Sometimes, not all the time, but there's certain little things I do that really bugs them. And then all I hear is the, "Mom, why do you do that? Mom, but what's wrong with you? Mom, you know?" And then what I notice is that I do it more when I'm around them because I'm already have that, like, that lens on me. And it's very interesting how I become more airheaded. I become a worse driver. I sometimes surprise myself the things I do in front of them, but it's like this energy. And then as soon as they see me doing it, they pick on it and they pick on it. And I'm like, that's not looking through a lens of love.
Yeah, but you know what? Vibrationally, that is a perfect thing to be talking about, because if somebody... We forget that the way we see one another has a huge impact on our behavior. Even without the words,
absolutely.
You know, if I see you and I say, "Myra's always clumsy," you can bet your bippy you're going to be real clumsy around me. Right?
Yes. And I become the clumsiest person in the world. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm never like this when I'm alone.
But if you look at that, and I'm suggesting to people, have you ever tried to just really look at that? Because if you do, you can clear that reaction. Like, take a minute and just breathe for a minute and go, "Oh, that's an empathetic, energetic interaction with them. I don't need to do that anymore." Does that make sense?
No.
Thank you.
I'm not just clearly understanding it. So what you're saying is that instead of me reacting to it, that I need to kind of breathe through it and release that?
Yeah, because what I'm saying is sometimes they're watching you and expecting that, and that can create your reaction to be that way. And if you know in your brilliant mother mind that that's what happens in you, you can stay still just for a few minutes and then clear your fields. You're the expert on balance. I know that. Just clear those fields. You can even imagine a light swishing round and round your body and evening up all your external fields. So you have a buffer around you, and you'll be surprised. You will not be clumsy, you see. You will not be ditzy or whatever was the word. Only we don't realize. Isn't it interesting?
That's cool that I can do that if I prepare it.
Yeah. And if you want them to be, I mean, you could do the reverse with them, but we're not going to do that. But if you want them to be really strong and striking, you got to see them being that way. And they will feel the confidence in your gaze. Because the other way around, I know my daughter says, "I can tell by looking at you judging me." I'm going, "Ay vey." But maybe, and I said, you know something, when you're a mother, I'd rather be your friend than your mother, because all I do is twitch an eyebrow and you've got a whole interpretation because it came from some deep place way back. And I might not even be anywhere near that now, but she will still be reactive. And that's just one example. I mean, it could be the other way around. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, for sure. Yes. And it's interesting because I remember, and I was sharing this with them like a year ago, I was in this funk with them that I was pointing out everything negative. That's all I kept doing. I was there. And I remember I said, telling me, "Mom, can you please stop pointing out all the negative stuff we do all the time?" I'm like, "Thank you." I at that point, I really received that. I'm like, "You know what? You're right. Thank you. I'm going to work on that." And I've been so good with that. I've been like really just pointing out the positive things they do. And it's really good. It like really helps. I think it boosts their confidence. It shifted a lot of things. And so now when I tell him, I go, you know, I don't do that anymore because you expressed it to me when you noticed it. And right. I made an effort because I love you to shift that. So that's what I'm asking you to do now. And so, you know, it's all sinking in. They said, well, I wish I didn't tell you that because you should correct us. We're your son.
And you say, okay, you're wrong. But I love this conversation. I will have to go because I have another caller on the line. But I want to say this about you. I just want to say that Myra has an amazing spa in Woodland Hills, California. And what you've done is go from dancing, physical fitness, personal trainer, teaching a lot of people personal training into the spiritual mode and yoga and suspended, what, yoga and suspension? What's the term? And you're just an amazingly transformative spa girl. That's what I want to say.
Thank you, love.
And I feel 1,000,000% better. But thank you for your call. And I tell everybody to listen to your podcast when it comes out over the next day or so. It's from last Tuesday's show.
Good. Thank you, hon.
All right. Lots of love. Thanks for calling. So we have another caller. Aaliyah, is that you? Who's over there?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, I think I want to go to that spa.
Good.
Good.
Go there. Go there. It's wonderful, actually. Well, where are you? You're in Encinitas?
Yeah.
Well, hi, honey. What's new? And do you believe the shift is happening? What do you think?
Yeah, it's happening. I know it. I can feel it. Last night I was couldn't sleep, and I just was bathed in sweat. I'm telling you, it was just an intense kind of experience. And now I feel a dizziness that started about 5 p.m. So, you know.
And what do you think it's from? Do you think it's from the movement? Here's how I see it, and I've said this before. I've had no corroboration of this, but for years off and on, I see these huge waves of frequency just bouncing galaxies way out there. I mean, it was way beyond my normal grasp when it first started happening. But sometimes when we're bopped around here, I feel like, oh, it must be true. And when it gets down to us, it's hard to explain. We have dizziness, we have change, we feel thwarted, we feel expanded. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting when you can sense it on a physical level, which not everyone does. So a lot of people feel it on an emotional level, which is one of the etheric bodies, you know. But to feel on the physical level is quite a trip, you know. I've had this feeling of being dizzy many times since I sort of got opened up somewhere in 2002, I think. And what I used to sense first was just vortexes. I'd sense the energy vortex, and I could always feel it, like, because I kept dizzy around it, you know. And then from then on, it sort of built in the last 5 years or so. But the dizziness is kind of a good feeling as long as you're not having to operate a heavy equipment or...
Well, if you get into the star tetrahedron or the structures, which we usually do, as soon as I start spinning in the Merkaba, or the vibration, as a vibrational vehicle of light in the star tetrahedron, man, I'm dizzy like nobody's business. And I'm just standing still, envisioning something. And I think it's because we're able, sort of like talking with Myra about how we see one another can impact our behavior. And I really think that our thoughts are so vibrationally dynamic, you know what I mean? That you can mobilize fields.
I don't think people understand the proper way to direct thoughts. And that, you know, like I've taught children, so what you expect of children is what they end up becoming, and how you describe them to themselves is how they end up. And I found that you can describe somebody to yourself and have them change accordingly. So your perception of them changes them. But it's really linked to the emotional thing. So a thought by itself doesn't have a whole lot of power until you link an emotion with it. So it's all vibrational stuff, you know, and I think as we...
Yeah, but I think, you know, like, I want to just cycle back to what the shift is. I feel like knowing that helps us to participate in a shift in which we're learning to create a new reality. I mean, just what we're speaking about now is one of the tools in the toolbox of creating a new reality, is how we see one another and how we can see one another.
Yeah, and it's very important to not have unconscious thoughts roaming around that are constantly creating unconscious realities, you know. I mean, directing your consciousness is the primary tool, you know. It's the attention, you know, the attention. It's how you direct your attention, what you focus on, what you emphasize. It's an interesting process.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the party of the universe, you know.
Let me throw something at you. You're very vibrationally attuned. So don't you think that this shift is as much about us being able to access higher frequency energies and transmit them to one another? Don't you think that's kind of like the waves of the shift coming through?
Yeah, there's certain people like myself that probably step down the energy and ground it. And then, you know, we're constantly receiving new, you know, it's like getting computer updates and stuff like that all the time. And then you bring it through your body. And when you bring it through your body, you're bringing it into the physical. So there are people that are doing emotional work. There are people that are doing mental work. There are people doing physical work. And there are people doing all three. And, you know, but I have the definition for the shift, actually.
Goody. What is it?
I don't know if I told you this. I said, well, ascension is basically, if you think about a helium balloon, right? If you put something lighter than air into the balloon, it will rise. So something lighter is at, let's just say, it's a higher frequency. So a rock is a very slow, dense frequency. You know, it takes a long time for rock to change, right? But what ascension is basically bringing a higher frequency consciousness into a lower frequency dimension or a lower frequency environment. So the whole process of
that's the shifting of the basic frequency of the collective is one way to put it, shifting it, bringing it all up, right?
Well, you do it by doing it yourself. So it's like the law, what they call the law of resonance, you know, where, you know, if you put a...
But it's going to take a lot of us to make the shift for the whole collective, right?
Well, that we were distributed. You know, like if you were to take a tuning fork and put it in a huge warehouse, with the tuning fork way at the other end, you know, you wouldn't get a resonance coming off of it. But if you took several tuning forks and you put it in that, and you spaced them out in that warehouse, and then you struck a tuning fork, they would all start resonating, and everything in the warehouse would start resonating with that.
Well, I'm really glad you put it that way, because there are light beings all over the world that are rising up into a higher and higher resonance these days, and we are like the tuning forks, are we not?
Yeah, well, I call it remembrance. That's all we have to do is remember our original frequency, because what's been imposed.
Intricate for people. I think if they could just learn to keep going up there, and whether or not they can remember it, they can still learn to radiate out there at a conscious level, you know.
Well, learning to radiate is just a function of memory, because it's the original thing. It's the same thing, but I like it. It's easier for me to remember what the original thing is than to try to figure it out. You know, like if I remember, hatred is not natural to me. That doesn't feel natural. therefore, why am I engaging in something that doesn't benefit me? I remember that my original resonance is love. When I remember that, it becomes very simple. Oh, okay. You know, choose a resonance that makes me feel good. And that choice is one that I remember because it's the original programming. So tossing out the programming that doesn't benefit me.
Right.
And that when we all do it on a personal level, and particularly people that are extremely conscious of the shift, doing it on a personal level, our resonance eventually changes what's around us. But some of us have had to do it for a long time, you know, as you know.
This reminds me. Yeah, and I have one more question somebody else asked me, so I'll bring it in now. So I'll say goodbye to you, but you're right, and thank you for sharing that. And then I want to do a resonant shifting meditation before we have to say goodbye. But it's always good to hear from you, Aaliyah.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
All right, honey. Take care of yourself. So Bye. We're going to do a meditation, but one of the women who I really cherish also, who's a really brilliant light out there. She was just saying, what's the deal? If we're supposed to be so incredibly multidimensional and so possible and so close to angelic, how come we work so hard just to cover our fannies in this 3D world? Why does it have to be quite this complicated? And those aren't her exact words. It's let me see. I'll see what they are here. She said, where's the block? We're all here to serve our highest abilities. Why is it so ridiculously hard? For some reason, I've been frumbling, which is frumpy bumbling, and having to do this, that, and the other thing just to put food on the table. If we're given such big gifts to use and serve, why can't we? What stands in the way? What a great question. And it is the whole thing about, it's not the whole thing all the time, but my response to it is, or the guide's response are, that we're being brought into what the ripening of our gifts, the ripening of our personal vehicles to embody these gifts, our ability to integrate the gifts within ourselves and our being. That's when they grow and so on. So as far as I can understand, my guides and angels, who are absolutely precious, do not have a great sense of time. They can't really tell you from one day to the next when timing is going to be absolutely perfect. So as far as my friend goes, she's made it through this far. She's in her 50s. She's made it through this far and hasn't been too stuck in horrible corporate doodah or jobs that are mind-grinding yet, but she hasn't really been able to bloom into the work she wants. And many of us have been like that. You know, I'm older now and a whole bunch of things are coming forward for me. And I said, oh, gee, I guess I'm a late bloomer. And I was told in no uncertain terms, no, you're not. You're ripening now. You're just coming into the time where the pieces all fit and you can put into a world which is receiving you your share of the shift, your share of what is going to truly contribute on this planet. And that's true for the other people. I talked about the Oakland people, and there's people all over the world that are doing amazing, life-changing, supportive things for people, and it's true for them as well. So I think that's a really interesting subject. We only have a few minutes left for... let me see the time. Yeah, we only have a few minutes left for our meditation. So let's all close our eyes. And let's, above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. Drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. And then drop a double tetrahedron, a big diamond, its upper point going into the upper golden ball, its lower point going into the lower golden ball. And here's this great wide diamond. And inside of that, there's a crystal ball. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. And it's around you. You're inside of it. You, with that amazing filament of light running right through your spine, going from the upper ball into the lower ball. Now I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron back to what makes me dizzy. This does for starters. Spin and spin and spin into your star tetrahedron. And whilst you spin, see in front of you a beautiful magical screen. And on the first screen, see you becoming what it is you want to become. I want to become consciously multidimensional, wanting to be able to flit from awareness on one dimension and another and use that consciousness that comes with that awareness. And whatever you want to be is wonderful. When you see yourself getting to that point, wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And the second screen is you becoming conscious, or you creating a project, whatever project you want. And it might be a book, it might be a home and family, it might be a house, it might be a world trip. It might be little houses for homeless people. It doesn't matter what your project is. I want you to see all, picture your project, and I want you to see all the resources, the people, the places, the finances. Everything is going to flow together to bring your project together. That's right. And when it finally comes together, okay, then I want you to see all the resources coming together to sustain that project right to the end, till its natural end. Maybe that'll be a long time. Maybe that'll be a short time. And be proud of it. And wrap that in light. And now we're going to go do the galactic healing center. And I want you to call in your healing team. Each of us has teams of consciousness around us. And I want you to call in those beings that are amazing healers. Call them in and have at least 8 of them stand around your healing table. Beautiful, fresh, bright, bright white light healing table. And the first person to lie on that table is you. And what is it you want to work on? If you don't know, get your healing team to tell you. Otherwise, you can say to them, I need to work on this. Can you help me with this? I need to heal this. Can you help me with this? So I'm going to tell them something I need help with. Yeah. And then there's such compassion. Look in their faces if you can. Such compassion. Such love. And you can feel them and the energy that they use working with you. When you can feel it really well, wrap that in light and move it over to the side, because that energy healing will keep going. Now let's bring in a fresh table, all right? And on that table, put somebody that you want to help. Ah, I know. What I'm going to bring in this time is a surprise. I'm bringing in a young man whose pet was just put down and he can't stop crying. And I think part of the reason he can't is because his pet was having a hard time passing and it was just so upsetting and he did not know what to do. It's all been taken care of now, but it was a shock for a 10-year-old, right? So we're bringing him in and asking the healing team to ease him about the passing, because his pet wasn't suffering the way he appeared to be suffering. Animals are better at it. And the fact that he helped the pet a great deal, he was more successful than he thought. But also what they're doing is showing a lot of people here who are having trouble helping people or pets with that final transition. And the studies that I heard about recently over in England, for example, is that people who speak of death throughout their lives live much happier lives It sort of makes sense. So this little one is getting quite an experience in some of the difficulties in passing and gain and loss and grief. And at least he's open and able to speak about it, but they're holding him and soothing him. Yeah. Now we're going to move him to the side and let that whole thing percolate. Bring in a fresh table, a fresh healing table. And who's coming into the fresh healing? Oh, my goodness. Somebody's just had a terrible accident. Oh, and he's on the table. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, we've got a couple of very difficult, difficult physical injuries here. We've got two tables right now, three tables. That's it. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, and the healing teams. Remember, the team replicates themselves really easily. So when I have three tables here, our healing team is there three ways, okay? And they're helping this one, and they're helping people in extreme emotional pain with some difficult, difficult traumatic injuries. That's it. That's it. Yeah. And one of the things they're working with, besides soothing the body, is both the hands on the belly, hands on the brain. Remember, the belly has a lot of the thoughts and feelings that come up in it first. Yeah. That's it. And it's the brain patterns that help people. Apparently, that's what they're showing me tonight. It helps people understand and feel the transitory nature of a lot of this horrendous pain that they're going through. Oh, my. And this is the 40th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. So let's move these people over to the left here, because seeing them in such trauma makes me think of Vietnam and other war-torn countries. So let's open the political scenario and do the political table. And let's put on anyone who's in a war where there's bombing and buzzing and shooting and sniping and poisoning and subterfuge and lots of pain for even women and children. And I shouldn't say even women and children. Women are going to war these days, and so are children. Anyone who's in the damaging, terrible, ridiculous resolution, in quotes, called war. How awful. So let's just wrap them in light and have them feel, ask the healing teams to have them feel permeated with love. Permeated with the love of spirit and the love of universe, because the spirit beings within them are not suffering the way their physical is, yeah, of loss, of physical pain, of emotional pain, of the pain, psychological pain, of betrayal. That's it. And we're just filling that. We're going to fill each one of them with light. We're going to raise the fields and frequency, see if we can help shift their reality and see that as a reality shifting into the collective of our species. So we come to a time when war is not even in existence. And we need one more table. Wrap that in light, move it over to the side. We need one more table for Nepal. So let's put all the Nepalese earthquake people, the whole area, let's put it on another table and bring in the high frequencies from the great central sun and absolutely permeate these beings, permeate, there they are, with the high frequency energies. Good. And see them being ushered into much higher realms with love, peace, appreciation. Yeah. and connection with love of all levels and healing, so that which they take with them doesn't need to only be pain, but it's learning, it's wisdom, it's love. That's right. And wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and also call up the blessings of Mother Earth and penetrate her entire body with love. I think our time is up here. It's almost up. So let's close. Let's just fill it with light, fill it with love. And then I want you to look down under your feet and spin some star tetrahedrons under your feet. Two stars, one under each foot. Bzzz, spin them and spin them and spin them. Spin them in your knees. Bzzz, spin them in your genital area. Bzzz, and in your belly. Bzzz, and up through your solar plexus. Bzzz, and into your chest. Huge star tetrahedron, spin and spin into your throat, a little one, bzzz, and into your third eye. Good. And get that going right into the center of your brain, where you can open up amazing potential to create a reality beyond this one. Yeah. Beyond, and teach other people to receive it and feel it and create as well. And up on the top of your head, another star tetrahedron. Turn around and close off your galactic healing center. And whilst all these tetrahedrons are spinning, meet me here in another spinning tetrahedron. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for listening to this show. I'm so glad to hear from those of you who did call in. And send me a message if you feel like it, veronicaentwistle.com. Hit the Ask Veronica button. Tell me who you want to hear from as guests on Paradigm Shifters. I've got some dandy ones coming up. One is an artist who does the most amazing awakening art. And we're going to talk to Daniel and find out what got him going. And there's a fellow who used to be a policeman, a CIA guy, and so on. And he's going to talk about a lot to do with alien disclosure stuff. It's kind of exciting. He's a really interesting man. He's coming up the week after, not this coming week, but the week after. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying good night. Thank you so much for listening, and much love to all of you. Many blessings. Good night.